Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon? A show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go!
Hi!
Hi, Debbie. Hi, everyone.
A lot of technical difficulties today calling into the show, but we are here. Thank you, Vera, for getting in onto the line. And this is July 7, 2010. What are we on? Show number 46 of Who's Reading the Organon? We're going to repeat aphorism number 11 with the footnote because yesterday I lost that show. So it seems like a bunch of things are happening on the network that we will sort out and move forward with. Are we on track today?
Okay. Also, afterwards, I have something to announce about the Organon blog. So if you'd like to make your announcement first, Debbie.
Sure. Okay, I wanted to make an announcement because we don't have it on record that Dr. A.G. Yadav had posted a very nice article on HWC on the internal use of mother tinctures in homeopathy, and Dr. Sadhana had posted quiz number 4. So go ahead, get in there, read about an insomnia case and post your thoughts, and maybe she'll help you find the correct remedy for that. And then I had gotten the message from Joy Lucas, who has been, over the course of a year, been running an incredible Yahoo study group where everybody's been posting their thoughts and questions and getting responses. And Joy says she's shutting down that Yahoo group and is pursuing her own study group with supervision cases, materia medica, more organon study, and a lot more. She is an incredible homeopath, an incredible teacher. It's we want to give her as much blessings and good luck in her future endeavors. And there was one more thing that came into my email box yesterday from, I'm not looking at it, I should pull it up, but we really do need to give a great big applause to Louise McLean in the UK, who has, let's see, she's gotten on with Mike Adams in Natural Healing. He's got this fantastic website all about natural healing, what's going on in medicine, or whatever you want to call it today. And he put up her brand new book, Homeopathy Heals, and it's being released with Truth Publishing. It's called Homeopathy Heals is the name of her book. And Mike Adams says, does homeopathy really work? And if so, how does it? And so he's recommending her book. I myself did make a purchase for it. Let's see. Any other news? I'll let you do the news, and then we'll get on to our inspiration to get started.
Okay, I just wanted to announce that the Organon blog is now completely up to date with the radio show. So that means that hopefully from now on, when we do an aphorism on the radio show, by the next day you should see it in the Organon blog. I'm now 68 aphorisms done, 223 aphorisms to go. The target date is 10th of April 2011. And who knows, maybe I'll reach the target before time.
It's fun to do a countdown to see how far you've been and where your where your goals are, where you're headed, and where you are in that range. It's very nice. I also applaud and congratulate you on keeping that up. I know how hard it is to keep up with whether it is a study, which we're doing, or actually journaling, which is a kind of healing in itself, and that's what you're doing by writing it down and putting your thoughts, I always say on paper, but we know it's in the internet, on the airspace.
on virtual screen.
Yeah, everybody can see it. It looks like paper. So let's keep going. I wanted to repeat that phenomenal quote that came in my email box 2 days ago by Rob D. Freeman, because it bears repeating. It says, God can do mm-hmm. anything. He can even, as the Talmud puts it, quote, fit an elephant through the eye of a needle, unquote. So how would he do it? Would he make the elephant smaller, or would he expand the eye of the needle? Neither. The elephant would remain big, the eye of the needle small, and he would fit the elephant through the eye of the needle. Illogical? True. But logic is just another of his creations. He who created logic is permitted to disregard it. And as I read this for the second time today, I'm thinking, he asked the question, how would he do it? And we, in our logical minds, try to find a way to make the two things fit logically. Either one has to get bigger or another has to get smaller. And he's saying, throw all that out the window. We cannot use our human brain logic to find the answer to this. He's going to do it, I don't want to say miraculously, but with something that is totally unimaginable, to make that elephant go through that tiny eye of the needle in his own profound way, not in a way that we can possibly understand it, although that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try constantly to find answers. Did you have a thought about that?
Not really. I'm thinking it would be nice if we could get through the aphorism and its footnote in today's show. Since this is a kind of repeat and there's an awful lot to read.
Right. Okay, why don't we alternate? You want to start?
Okay, so I'll start with the aphorism itself. And we'll discuss briefly and move on to the footnote, okay?
Great.
When a person falls ill, it is only this spiritual, self-acting, automatic vital force, everywhere present in his organism, that is primarily deranged by the dynamic influence upon it of a morbific agent inimical to life. It is only the vital principle, deranged to such an abnormal state, that can furnish the organism with its disagreeable sensations and incline it to the regular, irregular processes which we call disease. For as a power invisible in itself and only cognizable by its effects on the organism, its morbid derangement only makes itself known by the manifestation of disease in the sensations and functions of those parts of the organism exposed to the senses of the observer and physician. That is, by morbid symptoms, and in no other way can it make itself known. So the way I see it here is, it's the question of who or what is your patient when you're treating? Is your patient the person's foot? Is your patient the person whose foot it is? Is your patient the inner vital force which keeps the person and his foot in health, and which expresses itself through symptoms and sickness? So Hanuman is really saying here, to my mind, your patient is the vital force. That's who you're treating. You're treating the spiritual, self-acting, automatic vital force. And if your medicine reaches the vital force rather than anywhere else, then that will impact on all the expressions of disease that the vital force is sending out to us. What do you think, Debbie?
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like what we're trying to reach and touch is the core, the essence, the root, whatever it is that is enlivening the body And, you know, we are not saying cause and effect again, but if it is the initiating factor toward whatever is deranged, then that's where we want to reach. We don't want to just spray some bug spray. We want to actually get the bug out. So, or find a way that the bug can live in harmony. I don't know, one way or the other. So now I'm going to continue with the footnote so we can possibly finish. What is dynamic influence, dynamic power? Our Earth, by virtue of a hidden invisible energy, carries the moon around her in 28 days and several hours, and the moon alternately in definite fixed hours, deducting certain differences which occur with the full and the new moon, raises our northern seas to flood tide, and again correspondingly lowers them to ebb. Apparently, this takes place not through material agencies, not through mechanical contrivances, as are used for products of human labor. And so we see numerous other events about us as a result of the action of one substance on another substance, without being able to recognize a sensible connection between cause and effect. Only the cultured practiced in comparison and deduction can form for himself a kind of supersensual idea sufficient to keep all that is material or mechanical in his thoughts from such concepts. He calls such effects dynamic virtual, that is, such as result from absolute specific pure energy and action of the one substance upon the other substance. So again, he's reiterating, this is not cause and effect, this is not mechanical means, it is not our, maybe not our logic mind again, that is trying to reason, but there is something beyond, something that is pure energy that is creating this dynamism between the two substances and how they react.
I see it a bit differently to that, Debbie. It's not exactly correct. It's giving a different view on things, because in my opinion, he is looking at it through the logical mind, but he's making the logical mind work differently to the way it's used to, certainly in his time and also in ours. So-called logical mind, the rational mind, works with that which is mechanical and material.
Okay.
We work with rules, even in science, in mathematics, we work with what is material, what is mechanical, and this is the way our minds are trained, without us even realizing it through early schooling.
He's asking us to retrain our mind. Is that what you're saying?
He's saying we have to retrain our minds. Also, in the upcoming paragraph, he's going to talk about magnetism, and he's going to talk about, again, a force that cannot be seen. So it's a force that is immaterial and not mechanical, but it's a force nonetheless. And in this particular paragraph, the first paragraph of the footnote, what I find interesting, is the sentence where Hahnemann says, only the cultured, practiced in comparison and deduction, can form for himself a kind of supersensual idea, sufficient to keep all that is material or mechanical in his thoughts out, away from such concepts. I'm doing a little editing here. Because basically what he's asking us is to juggle, to take away from our minds any of the traditional concepts that we're used to about the material and the mechanical, and to wrap our minds literally around the concept of something that is immaterial. It's not that he's ruling out issues of cause and effect. He's saying, look at cause and effect differently. We tend to think if you slam a hammer on something, then something will happen. That is cause and effect. And here he's saying the earth is moving, the moon is moving, something's happening. We can't see what's happening. There is cause, there is effect. But we can't see the means by which that cause and effect are linked.
Mm-hmm.
That's the element that Hahnemann is adding in here. And it really is difficult for us to wrap our minds around the concept.
I have a couple of comments coming in from the network on the live chat.
Sure.
Dr. Wakar has asked a question, how does it relate to our autoimmune system? He also says, is there any analogy between the vital force dynamis and the autoimmune system? And Dr. Piyush Kumar is saying, there is saying that body is function of mind, and mind is the function of body. And there's recent research that also points to this concept. And we might answer these questions that they have today on our group blog because we have limited time, only maybe less than 10 minutes left.
What I would suggest just briefly in terms of Dr. Wakar, the jury is out. Some people say the vital force is the immune system and other people say it isn't. There's a debate. And in terms of the body-mind connection, it's definitely there. Research shows it's there. Right now we're reading Hahnemann's words on it.
I think further discussion
on the group would be great.
Okay, and also unless we want to continue this another day on aphorism number 11, it's really worth it. It's a worthy, valuable, very rich and dynamic aphorism. Okay, where Dr. Piyush has spoken about the body-mind connection, I believe I spoke the other day that Hahnemann is touching us even to the body-soul connection or the body spirit connection, which is a different kind of a connection, going one step further to that source energy. And it's a different kind of relationship than just body-mind. So, yes, we can continue to put information and conversation on the group. And is it my turn to read or your turn to read now, for instance?
You can have...
You want me to read? Okay. For instance, the dynamic effect of the sick-making influences upon healthy man, as well as the dynamic energy of the medicines upon the principle of life and the restoration of health, is nothing else than infection. And so not in any way material, not in any way mechanical. And one sees that the piece of iron is attracted by one pole of the magnet. But how it is done is not seen. This invisible energy of the magnet does not require mechanical material auxiliary means, hook or lever, to attract the iron. The magnet draws to itself, and this acts upon the piece of iron or upon a steel needle by means of a purely immaterial, invisible, conceptual, inherent energy that is dynamically and communicates to the steel needle the magnetic energy equally invisible dynamically. The steel needle becomes itself magnetic even at a distance when the magnet does not touch it and magnetizes other steel needles with the same magnetic property dynamically with which it has been endowed previously by the magnetic rod, just as the child with smallpox or measles communicates to a near untouched healthy child in an invisible manner dynamically, the smallpox measles, that is, infected as it did at a distance without any material from the infected child going or capable of going to the one to be infected. A purely specific conceptual influence communicated to the near child smallpox or measles in the same way as the magnet communicated to the near needle, the magnetic property. And I do have a question about this because today we do know that there, from the sputum, from the discharges, something is being transmitted physically, and maybe he did not see it at that time. And we can quantify it perhaps. But then again, this stuff is being spread into the environment when people sneeze and cough, and yet there are a lot of people there. Only certain people actually get infected or show the results of this transmission of information. So maybe that is, we can find an answer to that as well or talk about that.
Well, I think that it's very much, it takes two to tango. It's not just the infecting agent, it's also the recipient host. And as we see in simplistic terms, if you have someone whose resistance is high, who's healthy, who's happy, who has good lifestyle, they're less likely to catch illness than someone whose resistance is low or who's miserable, who's just suffered a loss, all those types of situations.
Right.
So I think that adds into the mix as well.
And so this component of the body being vital and having a certain kind of energy, a positive, healthy attitude, feeling good and strong, whether or not they get the contagious disease, or the person of low energy, depressed, always catching colds, then they are more weak, more apt to be resistant to these kinds of infections. So it still goes back to that inner core of what is within the dynamis, the vital force of that individual. And even so, the healthy person, when they do catch this contagious infection, they will throw it off much more quickly or much more intensely as an acute illness, and maybe not as long-lasting, but the vital force will, as Dr. Wikar says, will use that immune system function more heartily.
Shall we try for one more paragraph?
Let's go for it.
Okay. In a similar way, the effect of medicines upon living man is to be judged. Substances which are used as medicines are medicines only in as far as they possess each its own specific energy to alter the well-being of man through dynamic conceptual influence by means of the living sensory fiber upon the conceptual controlling principle of life. The medicinal property of those material substances which we call medicines proper relates only to their energy to call out alterations in the well-being of animal life. Only upon this conceptual principle of life depends their medicinal, health-altering, conceptual dynamic influence. Just as the nearness of a magnetic pole can communicate only magnetic energy to the steel, namely by a kind of infection, but cannot communicate other properties, for instance, more hardness or ductility, etc. And thus, every special medicinal substance alters through a kind of infection that well-being of man in a peculiar manner exclusively its own, and not in a manner peculiar to another medicine. As certainly as the nearness of the child ill with smallpox will communicate to a healthy child only smallpox and not measles, these medicines act upon our well-being wholly without communication of material parts of the medicinal substances, thus dynamically, as if through infection. Far more healing energy is expressed in a case in point by the smallest dose of the best dynamized medicines, in which there can be, according to calculation, only so little of material substance that its minuteness cannot be thought and conceived by the best arithmetical mind, than by large doses of the same medicine and substance. That smallest dose can therefore contain almost entirely only the pure, freely developed, conceptual, medicinal energy, and bring about only dynamically such great effects as can never be reached by the crude medicinal substance itself, taken in large doses. One thing I would like to point out briefly in our last second, Hahnemann repeats here over and over again, energy, energy, energy. The medicines, the effect of the medicines is brought about by their dynamic energy. And I would like to reclaim the word energy from the new age, because so many people hear the word energy and energy medicine and they say, oh, it's new age. This is not new age. This is old age.
Wow. Okay. We only have a minute left. So I guess we're going to end up continuing with aphorism 11. I did ask you earlier whether it was the longest aphorism in the whole Organon. I'm still wondering about that answer. But I do think for us it's taking many, many days of study, and it's worth it because it's a key point to understanding Hahnemann's mind and thinking and how he came about with the universal laws and principles of using the homeopathic remedies. So let's sign off with some kind of a closing statement, an umbrella thought about today, and then you're going to close.
I wish positive energy to everyone.
Okay, good. Let the force be with you. That's for today.
Okay, or may the force be with you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.